Yeah.
Oh, great to have you with us on this Monday. Good morning, everyone. It is the, the 15th day of August. We have one round to go in the AFL season. It is set up for an absolute blockbuster finish, starting on Friday night, finishing all the way through on Sunday. And anything can happen, which is quite extraordinary, to be perfectly honest. So we're looking forward to that. Lots of sport went on over the weekend. Looking forward to having a chat with you about it. And I'm sure you've got strong opinions. The buck stops here with Nathan Buckley. He's here. Liam Baker from the Tigers. They just did a job over the Hawks yesterday. So they're hitting form. And Jake Lever from the Demons. What about that for a game on Saturday night? Sam Edmund with all of the news. He'll be busy. Nathan Buckley, good morning to you. I don't know where to start.
Morning, Gaz. It's like an overload of information. There's just so much going on.
Crazy,
in the not just in the sporting world, but in the world in general. I just sometimes just get here on a Monday morning and think, well, where do you start?
It's good. Monday mornings are good because it's you get it into your system, and unless you can get it out, it'll just sit there and percolate. So let's just get it all out.
Well, what about we were just looking at some vision of two EPL coaches. So I don't know. They probably have got a history.
Do you know much about EPL?
No, sure. I don't. You're but what you know what I do love, yep. And what I have seen. Is the emotion, like they wear their heart on their sleeves, the soccer
the
coaches.
Blood.
The European blood, they're like they're hot headed, they're passionate. And like you really see their personality. Like Klopp probably started it, like he wears his heart in his sleeves, come across from the German club, goes to Liverpool, and then they do well. But
Let's set this up. And we'll play it for coaches. You just off the top, just to give you something different, because I suspect it's going to be AFL dominated. Antonio Conte from Tottenham and Thomas Tuchel from Chelsea. They've drawn 2-2. They cross paths after the game to shake hands, and then this unfolds.
And it's finished. Antonio hasn't finished. Correction. It's only just started. In terms of dugout drama, been on a short fuse, really. Red card for Thomas Tuchel as well.
They got history, apparently. They got history. So they go, they walk past each other at a reasonable pace, having just drawn 2-2, and they shake hands, right? So they lock hands with a shake, and then instead of releasing the handshake, they held it but kept walking. So it swung each other around, and then there's a pull on the target.
Like, can you imagine that happening in an AFL game? So
Chris got to go bang, and then none of you let go at your handshake, and then it's on for young and old.
And one guy wasn't happy because the other guy wasn't looking him in the eye. So that's then they just flared right up. There was a melee.
If two
AFL coaches did that, what fines would you expect to be handed down by the AFL?
25.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah.
Bringing absolutely. The game into disrepute. We would just...
0433981116. Who are the two modern day coaches most likely to do an Antonio Conte and a Thomas Tuchel?
Chris Fagan from a Brisbane line.
Fags would be the last, wouldn't he?
He would almost be the last.
Fags would be the last. If Clarko was there, he'd be one, wouldn't he? If he was
Bevo, Clarko.
Clarko and Bevo. If they just had a disagreement about one of the rules of the game or something.
Fags might be the dark horse.
Really?
Him and Chris Scott exchanged some words last year. Remember?
Chris Scott eyeballed the opposition.
Big O. Big Oscar McInerney.
That was last year, wasn't it? Yep. Yeah, that might be it. But no, geez, that was funny. And emotion is a massive part of the game. We think that we see these leaders in our organisations on the sporting field, but
yep.
And we think that they're supposed to be these controlled, organised units. But deep down, underneath it all, especially when you get to the pointy end of a season like this, we've got plenty of emotion that's bubbling to the surface. I love seeing it.
No, it was great. And then we've got, so that's the backdrop. That's a world sporting stage. And then we've got this unbelievable AFL round 23, which is the final round kicking off on Friday night. And the ramifications are just for everyone to see. And well done to the Geelong Footy Club, by the way, who are minor premiers. Nothing that happens this weekend is going to change the fact that Geelong will finish on top of the AFL ladder at the end of the year. My question to you is, why don't we give the team that finishes on top $1 million?
Well, there's got to be some incentive to it, hasn't there? Damien Hardwick was the other one, the other coach that spoke more about recognising, small wins. You go to the States and you make the playoffs, and that's a, you get a pat on the back for making the playoffs, and then you become a different divisional champion, and then a conference champion. Then you go to see if you can win the whole thing, and there's little stages there where you get, where you basically are rewarded. I'd wonder if the league actually reward financially teams that reach a certain level
in the NFL
or NFL anywhere. Like so,
the EPL they do. That's so the ultimate.
So come back to yours, $1 million to be minor premier.
Well, there's only one winner in our game. Mm. You only win one thing, and that's what makes it such a sacred and the chalice is what the premiership cup, and that's the only time you can get a win. What else? The loser doesn't even get a medallion. They just walk off and that's it. You know better than anyone. They don't get anything.
Do the AFL incentivise a premier? What does an AFL club get financially from the AFL for winning the flag?
I'm not sure because I raised this last year when the Demons finished on top. So I'm being very level here. It's not about the Demons.
No.
But I just think it'd be a great reward for the best home and away year. Over the course of 23 weeks, you're the best team. You get $1 million or something.
Our society, the way that we go about it as Aussies, is we want to make it harder for the team that has won. Because we want to handicap the teams that finish on top. And we do it with a draft.
We give them a harder draw.
We do it with a draft.
We give them a harder draw.
And we do it with a draw. So the Australian way is to handicap the winners so that we even up the competitions. Okay.
They should get $2 million because they had supposedly, I haven't looked into it from a Geelong point of view, but they finished in the top four, so they get the harder draw, don't they? Supposedly.
They do.
So they've done it even harder. They've got to work even harder and win the premiership.
Well, I agree, the
minor premiership.
I agree with that, but maybe we in the media can focus a little more on the fact that there is more success stories than just a premier.
Yeah. But we don't, because that's just what we've been conditioned to.
Well, a lot of people didn't expect. Richmond have qualified for finals, and Damien Hardwick was saying that this is an achievement for us. This is something that we've set ourselves for, and we've been able to get there. Now, we can't get the double chance, but we believe that we're playing our best footy at the right time of the year.
Yep.
A lot of people in the beginning of the year didn't think Richmond were going to be there. They wondered, are they the Richmond of old? And they were never going to be, but that is success in and of itself, because they got a lot of young players there. They've changed their style up a little bit, and they have been able to succeed to get to this point.
The streak has come to an end. We'll talk about it in great detail out of seven, of course, and your calls and your text messages will be so welcome. That's the game we'll talk about. The crowd at Sydney. So I did Richmond Hawthorn. By the time I got home, it was in full swing. The third quarter was probably, from what I could gather, the most competitive with the Pies kicking a few goals. But that was the second biggest home and away crowd ever at the SCG. And the noise and the atmosphere. So I heard Hutchie talk about it. Hutchie would know. He said the people seeking tickets for that game was unlike anything he'd experienced. Now, obviously, we've got businesses up in Sydney, this organisation, so he would have. He said he was tapped like never before. Mm. So they get a home final, the Swans up there. What about that for an atmosphere?
Well, that's been building for a while, hasn't it? I mean, Buddy's been huge for Sydney.
Yeah.
But they regenerated off, it's 10 years ago that they were, they were in that granny in 16, but it was 10 years ago since they won it in 2012.
Yep.
They've always had that strong academy system. They've recruited really well. They've got a lot of young guys coming through at the same time.
So watchable.
Now they've now got 50,
they're
60,
pretty sexy.
70 games.
They're a sexy team.
They are. And it's really is the Sydney of old, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So they've got the good-looking blokes. Heaney would attract a different demographic, and then the Lizards there attracting another demographic.
Well, then you look at Rowbottom's performance on the weekend.
Well,
that goal. You don't half a step going turn 180 degrees and snap it 45 metres over your shoulder. That was a fair goal. That was a great effort. And a great contest, great game.
Yep.
Obviously, there were some coaching tactics we can go through that Sydney were able to impose on Collingwood. But you know what makes the big difference after you've got tactics is actually winning the contest.
Yeah.
If I'm pretty sure if Carlton supporters had a look at the last contest or the contested mark from Melksham, three Carlton blokes in the square versus Melksham, and Melksham's able to take a contested mark. You win that contest with a minute 30 left on the clock. You're 7 points up. You're not going to lose that game of football. Just win that contest. Just kill that ball.
That game.
And it wasn't done.
And I'm not saying this because Melbourne won. That was the hardest watch. Carlton fans, let me know if you felt the same as this. Well, you'd feel worse because you lost, right? But the hardest watch for a supporter, I was on my own watching it, and there wasn't a second where you thought, yep, the game's won, you know, no. I can relax. And not for a second did that game, and it went, even when they kicked the goal to Cozzy, that goes back into the middle and your heart's thumping and you think, oh, no, I couldn't, you know. So all, and from Carlton fans to have finally secured their spot, only for it to unfold in that manner. I can't imagine. Well, I can imagine how gutted you would be feeling.
So the couch at Best on Ground were getting set, ready to go, our warm up guy, Ben Lomas, is a mad Carlton supporter.
Oh, is he?
And he's warming the crowd up. He's got them all fired up. And like up until about 5 minutes to go, he's high vibing.
Charlie Kenno kicks a goal, and
they were up and about.
Yep.
When Jake Melksham took that mark, he had his head in his hands. Look, so there was some theatre. There was some theatre preparing for that show. I'm smiling about it because for him, he was absolutely gutted. And you got to sort of, so let's extrapolate that out. The supporters, the players, the coach, everyone at Carlton at the moment, they thought they were into September. They thought they had every right to believe that they'd done the work, they'd played well. Even Vossie said after the game, we played the way we wanted to play, we did everything that we wanted to do, bar finish it off and get the result. So they now have to dust themselves off and come again. Okay. And how good is that, is that game going to be?
That's what I was thinking about, right? I'm not laughing because we've all been there. So I'm thinking if you're a Carlton fan, you've worn this, they haven't played finals for 9 years or whatever, right? So they're in. To all intents and purposes, they're in. And all that emotion that they've had to carry, can we get there, can we not? You know, and for a split second they think they're in and then they're out and then they go, I've got to live with this for 8 more days, and then I've got to go through this whole emotional torture next Sunday again at the MCG.
No.
I just can't imagine.
That's the beauty of sport. It's great theatre, we saw it on Saturday. We saw it again yesterday afternoon.
Yep.
We'll see it again next weekend because there's some great games on the horizon.
It is a heavy ramble, lads, but this is the time of the year where footy overlooks everything. I've got a couple of issues I want to get to. Hey, the FedEx and Juge Championship's on at the moment. Will Zalatoris is leading at 14 under.
He's been consistent, hasn't he? Every time I come in on a Monday morning, he's just right up there.
Adam Scott is tied for 7th at 11 under. Will Zalatoris is 14 under. Cam Davis, 9 under. And Cam Smith, 8 under. He was issued a 2-stroke penalty for improper placement of the ball during the third round in Memphis. He's 6 shots back, was only 4 shots back earlier today and very much would have been in the mix. But I would imagine with Zalatoris at 14 under with, 7 holes to play, I don't think Cam Smith's going to make a charge. I went on the Monash Freeway weekend down the farm, first time since the 100-kilometre zone is back in.
Mm.
Could have been the greatest drive of my
life.
Could argue have been the greatest drive of my life.
What were you listening to?
So I was coming back.
Because that's got to be a big part of it. The best drive of your life has to include music.
No. Nothing.
Silence.
Well, I had something going on. Would have been probably
or the convo.
Field Marshal doing an interview with someone. But it was the 100Ks. Was it just a joy? It was a joy, Nathan.
In the flow state, were you? Straight You're in the back. Flow state.
You come off the Mornington Peninsula onto the freeway coming into Melbourne. Normally that's where you sit on 80 for an interminable amount of time, but not yesterday.
Talking about good rides, I went to Luna Park on Saturday afternoon.
What?
I took my 13-year-old and him and a mate of his to Luna Park.
Hold the thought. Tell me on the other side of the break. I didn't even know it was open. Make the call, switch to Kogan Mobile Melbourne
Airport. License parking. To print money.
Nothing beats 12 bucks. They all are those, George. $12 a day parking at Melbourne Airport and 40 garage doors. Garage doors redefined. 40doors.com.au.
Unmissable moments for Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to Drinkwise.
Cozzy Pickett snaps! It's a goal! You won't believe it! Melbourne have stolen the impossible! And Cozzy Pickett's the hero at the MCG! Carlton Hearts breaking right across the nation.
Nice work from Donners, Johnny Donoghue there, calling beautifully the final moments of the thriller on Saturday night. You said you went to Luna Park.
I did. I went to Luna Park. I was lined up with the scissors ride was closed. That's the one that.
How many people were there?
There were a lot.
On Saturday afternoon.
And it's $50, unlimited rides when you get
Rocky.
In. I probably spent a little more time on the in the lines than on the rides, but yeah, there was a bit of cotton candy that went on. That's a thing. Ace calls it cotton candy, not fairy floss. What are you doing, mate? We're not in the States.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
But
man?
No, we went. So it's the great railway, scenic railway, not the Mad Mouse. I used to know it as the Mad Mouse, right?
Mm.
And I reckon I went out when I was about 12 or 13, and Ace was going around in it for
just
the first time.
Just you and Ace, was it?
And a mate of his. So, and then we went on the Dodgems. We went on the pirate ship. My God, my guts hasn't gone like that for a while. That was interesting.
Did you go on the Pharaoh's Curse?
No, what was that one?
I don't know. That's what Brooksy just asked me.
What about this? At Luna Park in 93, Gary Lyon once refused to sign an autograph for me at the Melbourne Family Day because I forgot to say please. I was 12. Well, I think that's you're just trying to educate people, aren't you?
Yep.
If you don't,
yep.
But still,
that would probably be.
Do you remember that?
Very well, very well. I always used to say,
you got to have your best 15 seconds.
I always
mate.
Used to say, kids, when they just walk up to you and go, sign this.
Yeah.
I go, please. They go, what? They look at you, and go, what?
No.
I said, say please.
Piss off.
Yeah, I'll go and get Schwarters then.
You got to have your best 15 seconds. Everyone you meet, you got to try and have your best 15 seconds, guys.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Coleman Medal. Charlie Curnow's on 62, played Collingwood on
yep.
Sunday. So tell me what you've got these bugs down for. How many you got Charlie down for against the Pies in front of 90,000 on
four.
Sunday? Four. Right, so we end up 66. Jeremy Cameron, 59, plays West Coast Eagles.
So he's got to kick seven or eight.
He kicked 9 goals, 5 against the Swans when he was playing for the Giants to win his first Coleman. So obviously I suspect that the Giants might have gone out of their way to get in the footy. He kicked 9-5 to come from behind and beat Ben Brown back in whenever that was.
Yeah, so he's used to it. He's done it
2019,
before.
2019 that was. So
and where's Hawk?
Hawks
and Lynch.
They're both on 55. So if you've got Charlie for four, he's going to end up on 66. So they'd need to kick 12. So
Charlie just keeps finding a way to hit the scoreboard, and he's
he had a quiet one on. Had a quiet one on Saturday
yes,
night.
Yes.
Harrison Petty did a good job on him, but you could see. Well, and Jeremy Cameron could play on Tom Barrass, who is in all Australian form, we are told.
Jeez, there's a campaign there, isn't there?
I don't know. I missed all this. Is there?
Well, Simo's running a really heavy campaign.
Is he? Oh, good.
But it's
he has
it's,
played well it's on based, a team that's been just
it's
bombarded.
Based on, it's based on facts. His intercept marking's been very good.
So Charlie's got the 3-goal lead over Jeremy. I think it's going to be another little interesting subplot to what might be one of the great final rounds. You know, the greatest final round every year we talk about it was the 87 one when the Demons had to win to get in. Jason Dunstall kicked the goal down at Cadinia Park to beat Geelong. Stephen Kernahan kicked the goal after the siren. That was all in the one round.
Was that the one where Blighty was coaching on a table over in Perth? There was one there where Blighty was coaching on a table over in Perth, and I think. It was obviously it was Geelong at the time, and they needed to. There was about 8 different permutations that were going to come through.
I don't remember
all
that.
At the same time.
All I do know is that you're being howled down here. The Mad Mouse was at the showgrounds.
There you go.
The scenic railway and the Mad Mouse are different rides.
Different.
Bucks.
There you go. What?
Stupid.
Well, I didn't grow up in Victoria. I just come to visit every now and then.
I tell you what else is going to happen this weekend. There's going to be a whole raft of retirement announcements, which is what happens at this time of year. And there's just a nice moment yesterday at the MCG. We were out there doing our hostings, and just Josh Caddy and Kane Lambert, 5 premierships between them, 2 to Caddy, 3 to Lambert. They're both retired, and they just did a casual walk around the ground, just low-key, just the two of them, just did a lap, and the Richmond fan and the Hawthorn fans just got to pay their respects, and it was really nicely done. There's no, they could make a big deal out of it, but I think both of those boys appear to be pretty understated. I don't know them, but so they farewelled the game with 5 premierships to their name.
I think that's, the contribution that individuals make to larger organisations and then to the wider community, the supporter group and the members of the organisation, is I think that's awesome to be, because it's such a team sport and we focus so much on the team result and there is a lot of scrutiny that comes with it.
Mm.
So when you actually strip that back and you say, and you get a chance to acknowledge and say thank you
yeah.
to the individual who has contributed, you know, a fairly large chunk of their life. So, I mean, Caddy and Lambert, and they've made sacrifice. So it doesn't happen as much now. It's some of the bodies that rolled out of VFL or SNFL or WAFL footy over the years, and you're actually carrying that for the rest of your life. I think yeah. the bodies are generally coming out of the game a little bit better. But Kane Lambert's, for all intents and purposes, going to need a hip replacement.
Yeah. yeah.
That's not inconsiderable
That's
when
massive.
You consider about the impact
when
on the rest
30,
of his life.
Just,
correct.
Yeah. Are we being disrespectful to the Hawks, Andrew says? Are we just assuming the Dogs win, do we? No, they're
not
at Tassie, Andrew. Then I did watch the Hawks yesterday, though. They were pretty disappointing. But down in Tassie, they're a different proposition. Marky Mattingly, before we get some news headlines. Go, Mark.
Morning, guys. Hey, Bucks, I think you're talking about 94 when Geelong had to beat West Coast to make the finals.
I've got a couple of other texts here that suggest it was 93 on the Whacker.
That could be right, Bucks. And then they had to have Collingwood had to get beat for them to make the finals. I think that's no come home with a rush. Yeah, you could be right. 93 could be right.
I reckon that was as good a finish as we've
loved
seen
it.
At the end of 93.
Loved it. Keep bringing. You can throw up your memories all morning of big final rounds of AFL, VFL seasons and your memories of them. There would be plenty, I reckon, that go right down to the wire to see whether your team can extend their season into a final series or not.